this January. NITV and SBS brings you First Nations storytelling on an epic scale. Stories of our trailblazers, stories of our survival, and stories of our strength. Because this always was, always will be, Aboriginal land. 18th to 26th of January on NITV, SBS and SBS On Demand.
You're listening to SBS News.
Moving house is considered to be one of the most stressful events in a person's life. So in 2023, when thousands of Victorians received notice that their home was going to be demolished at some point between then and 2051, the stress was palpable.
For me, it's an existential crisis. You know, it's for someone who doesn't have a lot, again, to offer her children, you know, there was the certainty of where we were living, which is, so that rug has been pulled out from under our feet. And there's not a lot of certainty as the policy has unfolded.
Home to over 10,000 people, Melbourne's 44 public housing towers were built to address chronic housing shortages after World War II. Over the decades, the state subsidised housing, which charges no more than 25% of household income for rent, has become home for thousands of families. For residents like Emma, whose name has been changed for privacy reasons, public housing was a lifeline.
So I've been living on North Richmond Estate for over 10 years, and I came here by virtue of homelessness because of domestic violence. So I'm forever grateful to the social housing policy of this government, because as Maslow said before me very eloquently, if you don't have a house, you know, a roof over your head, you don't have anything. And for a single mum, you know, with two young children, it's kind of a big deal. So I'm very grateful for that.
Now, in the middle of a housing crisis, the Victorian government is pushing ahead with plans to demolish all of the public housing towers in the state by 2051. While some tenants have already been relocated and their homes demolished, Emma is still living in the North Richmond estate. Public housing tenants are an incredibly diverse group of people, but the majority are women, and many have complex needs or have experienced trauma and disadvantage in their lives. For the past decade, Emma has made a home in the area. Now, her future is uncertain again.
I have no idea what that means for myself and my family, other than I know that it means relocating, which is very, very scary for us, especially because the kids are going to school. And I, you know, I'm sad that they might have to uproot everything, you know, the government is saying they're going to make two offers, but what happens if neither of them, you know, meet our needs as the current housing situation does?
With more than 82,000 people currently on the wait list for public housing in Victoria, the decision to demolish existing stock has been met with fierce opposition and legal challenge. In December 2025, after a parliamentary inquiry into the policy, a report tabled in the Victorian Parliament concluded that the state government had not publicly justified the demolitions. Victorian Greens housing spokesperson Gabrielle De Vietri says tenants must be given more transparency about this life-altering policy.
I would question in the first place whether they have any documents that they say they have, so feasibility reports, condition reports for each and every one of the buildings, cost-benefit analyses. I would question whether the work has actually been done. And then if they do have evidence, I would question whether it actually points to the decision that they actually made.
Throughout the 15-month inquiry, the committee heard from residents across the 44 towers. In their evidence, they found there had been significant trauma, distress, and anxiety experienced, caused by poor communication and uncertainty about the policy. According to Dr. David Kelly, a researcher at the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology, more than half of the families living in the towers have been there for over 10 years, building community and connections within the area. Speaking at a hearing in July, resident Heaven told the committee about how her mental health was in decline as a result of the policy.
Prior to coming here, I lived in Lilydale, and I been, when I was in Lilydale, I was in and out of psych wards and not seeing my 9 children. And since I've been living here, I see my 9 children. I would know at least 200 people here that I can say, hello, how are you? How's your day? My mental health has improved out of sight. I'm not on medication anymore. I've never been happier until I heard that they were going to crash the buildings down, which is daily anxiety.
The Victorian Housing Minister, Harriet Shing, says the Allan Labor government is trying to deliver modern and accessible homes for people on the social housing register. The government says that every household has been assigned a relocations officer to work closely with them and ensure the new homes suit their needs and preferences. But, according to resident testimonies, many have felt forced or coerced into signing relocation papers, often without fully understanding what it is they're agreeing to. Emma says that despite all the flyers delivered to the towers, residents still feel in the dark about it.
There have been a lot of brochures in the mailboxes, which are spruiking the merits of this latest iteration, you know, of public housing. And I would say that nowhere do you have a more politicised citizen than a public housing tenant. And I appreciate all the efforts that the minister's gone to, but I wonder why I'm none the wiser for all of that communication.
The inquiry, backed by both the Victorian Greens and Victorian Liberal MPs, recommended that all redevelopment works be halted immediately until the government provides evidence to prove demolition is the best option. The state government claimed executive privilege over 146 documents relating to the policy, releasing just 12 to the public, as well as legal challenges raising concerns about the human rights of public housing tenants. Serious questions have also been raised about why the government won't just fix the towers up. The government claims that the ageing towers are no longer fit for purpose, but many architects and experts say other options are available. Steve Minturn is a landscape architect and the co-founder and director of not-for-profit design and research practice Office. He says retrofitting is generally cheaper and better for social outcomes.
We hope that the work is there to open up a conversation like we're having now around the possibility of retrofitting these buildings, and that there is really positive economic outcomes to the state budget. There's also huge social outcomes, especially for the residents, and there's an enormous environmental benefit, and that the state government has really ambitious net zero targets. And if we are going to hit those targets, it's very important that we construct and build in another way. Construction industry is very, very polluting industry.
Celebrate culture and connection this summer with SBS. Say Kimchi brings you a taste of Korean culture through a distinctly Aussie lens. SBS Spice serves up fresh takes on South Asian Australian life, unpacking pop culture, identity, food, sports, and more. And Chinese-ish dives into what it means to be a young Chinese Australian. Listen now on the SBS audio app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
It's no secret that the towers are old and many are in desperate need of repairs. The parliamentary inquiry confirmed that. According to the report, however, the towers' decline, especially since the demolition was announced, could have been managed better by the state government. The committee found that the Victorian government has engaged in the process of what's called managed decline by failing to conduct repairs and maintenance in a timely manner. In one hearing, Tenant John Lowndes told the committee that some of the maintenance carried out made upkeep more difficult.
Well, they did an upgrade and they took out all the copper piping and waste pipes except for the down pipes, and then a fused PVC to copper, one copper down pipe through the building. Now, that failed and turned into black mould and, you know, they replaced easy-to-clean surfaces with difficult-to-clean surfaces.
In the limited documentation released, the government claims redevelopment is the cheapest option and says the towers aren't able to accommodate growing demands. But Gabrielle de Viatri says the documents provided don't show how these works are best for public housing tenants.
The 12 documents that they did produce show that the meetings that they had before this decision were made were meetings with superannuation funds, with property developers, with people who were standing to profit.
In a statement responding to the report, Harriet Ching says the redevelopment will provide housing for three times as many residents and pledged the redevelopment will increase social housing by at least 10%. In a Melbourne Community Legal, has called this manifestly inadequate, arguing it will only equate to 440 new social homes over 28 years. Defined as rental housing owned and managed by the government or not-for-profit agencies, social housing is an umbrella term used for both public and community housing. Ekaterina Yerha has lived in the towers for 26 years. While she isn't opposed to demolitions, she says she's worried about whether she can afford to live in community housing.
I heard about this, about community housing. What is it? Yes, it was well done. It's very, everything like a luxury, but very small houses that I didn't see myself. But I know it's a bit expensive than public. Being on disability pension, I'm really afraid because a lot of my, more than half my pension going to my medication, everything.
Yeah.
It's what I was worried about, if I can manage or not.
The report says the government relied on the term social housing to transfer public housing tenants into a privatised model, with little detail about possible cost increases for things like utility and rent. Ekaterina says she has friends who moved into a new community housing development and thought it was fantastic until their bills began to arrive.
I spoke with my neighbour who was moved in the Bank Street. They were so glad to read of this one, and they was like, but now they shock after a while, already a couple months, I think they're living there, because the bills was coming, and it's for them shocking. And the electricity, they, not by their choice, whatever they're giving there, they have to follow.
Despite the damning findings of the parliamentary committee, several legal challenges, and the opposition of many public housing tenants, the government is pushing ahead with the demolitions. It's important to note that many of the residents say they're not opposed to the demolitions. They agree the towers have been neglected and are beyond repair. However, what many are opposed to is the reduction in public housing stock and the possibility that they'll be moved away from their community and facilities like healthcare that they rely on.
We want to stay in this area because we used to be with this community. You know, everything connected.
So you don't want to be put somewhere different?
Yes, that's right. Because we already used to, for example, myself, unfortunately, Alfred Hospital, my second home, all the time running, all these communities, these friends. Everyone also is shocked because I don't want anybody else. I want to see your face.
Sydney Lang, SBS News.
Let SBS lift your spirits this summer with stories of love and resilience. Love Without Limits is bold, funny, and full of heart as comedians Madeline Stewart and Alistair Baldwin explore dating, intimacy, and love in the disability community. Or join Yumi Steins for Scene, where extraordinary Australians share their stories of courage, creativity, and transformation. Listen now on the SBS Audio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.